The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Saint Eubaldus is our saint today, and when he was very young, he had received a grace which is very rare nowadays, the grace of a good Catholic education. His was probably one of the best, though, the best of the Catholic education, because he was taught at a seminary, the seminary of Saint Marian and James. And here he became quite a good student, but especially he excelled in sacred scripture, the study of sacred scripture. It's a shame that more people today, more Catholics, don't have that same love and that same knowledge of sacred scripture. The Protestants recited, if you've ever argued with a Protestant, they recited almost word for word, and they can do many, many passages, and they try to use our book of sacred scripture against us, to prove us wrong, to prove Catholicism wrong, and all of those sorts of things. If only we knew sacred scripture like they did, then we could easily refute them with their own plot. Now, when he finished with his schooling in the seminary there, his friends tried to get him to marry. He, however, had other plans, and he had no desire whatsoever of getting married, and so he made a vow of chastity. And at that point, he was also well known for his virtues, and he was so pious and so virtuous that he was able to remain fervent in his spiritual life, despite the fact that he was so often forced to be with people who were lukewarm. It's a very difficult thing to do. The people that go through the public schools many times lose their faith or lose the virtues that they did have at one time because they're around people that are lukewarm, people that don't have the faith. And so he never approved of the stupidity of his other friends, and soon enough he was forced to leave to another school. He no longer wanted to be around those people who had no spiritual fervor. And here, when he finished up his studies, he was then chosen to be the prior of the cathedral. And here his duty was to reform the behavior of the canons, the other priests. And that is a job that only a few people can do. St. Teresa of Avila was a reformer in the Carmelite order. St. Charles Borromeo, at the time of the Council of Trent, was a great reformer of the clergy. And now St. Eubaldus, too, in his own little part of the Catholic world, had to reform some of the clergy. And our saint went to work right away. But the first thing that he did in this work of reforming these canons was that he prayed. He prayed and he fasted for the success of his new duty. And that's something that we often forget to do. Before any important work that we have to do, we should first kneel down and pray. Before we study children, kneel down and say a prayer to the Holy Ghost. Or before any important work that we do, pray to the Holy Ghost, pray to Our Lady. And on the more important thing, we should also unite it with some little act of penance or some little sacrifice. Because those two things, prayer and penance united, are very powerful before God. And God will usually hear our prayers and grant our requests when we do those two things. Also, though, you know how else he worked. How did he reform his canon? It was not by simply preaching to them. He led and he worked their conversion by his example. He and his three other clergymen that worked with him simply followed the rules of the different religious houses in which they stayed. They simply followed the rules perfectly. So it is your example, and this is a little lesson, your example, not so much your words, but your example, converts people. Parents, especially for you, you must give good examples. You don't always have to yell and scold. There are times when, obviously, that is necessary, but not always. many times if you simply will lead a good and holy life, then you give the good example to your children. And then there will be no need to yell at them because they will imitate you. They will do good. They will practice virtue. So, but if you're out doing bad things, not living a very fervent spiritual life, a good Catholic life, then your children notice that, and then, well, then you can't expect them to be good Catholics. You must always set your standards high with your children. Now, our saint, when he became when he was consecrated a bishop, he didn't stop there in his spiritual life. Rather, his virtue grew and increased. And it says in Butler's Lives of the Saints that he practiced a perpetual mortification of all of his senses. The custody of the eyes, which is so important, especially these days. And you go out into public and you can scarcely walk through a grocery store without seeing so many immodest pictures. It is important to have those custody of the eyes. He guarded his tongue, never spoke idle words, and always thought before he spoke. That is also very important. That's a, you might say, a vice among traditional Catholics is the misuse of the tongue, speaking uncharitably of another, the gossip, the detraction, all of those things. That's a very bad vice among especially traditional Catholics, something to watch out for. But he was also known for his great fidelity in his duties. Remember, you can say all the prayers you want. Say 10 rosaries a day. You can do the Stations of the Cross daily. You can do all of these prayers. But if you're not doing your duties, you're not sanctifying your soul. St. Francis de Sales said that that is the main way in which we can sanctify our souls, is by being faithful in our duties, no matter how small or how grand the duties are. But the virtue which our saint was most known for was his great patience. Once it happened that he had to get after some of the workers that got into his vineyard, and I guess they might have trampled over some of his grapes or whatever. And so he was forced to correct them, give them a fraternal correction, and it said that he did so with great mildness and great gentleness. But one of the workers boldly came up and pushed him into a large heap of mortar, and simply he got up without the least sign of anger. Imagine that. He got up without the least sign of anger and simply walked away. Well, the people on this occasion wanted this worker banished. They wanted him out. They wanted to give him the most severe punishment they could out of a just anger. But he tried on that occasion to excuse the man, saying that it was an accident. But all of those people that witnessed it knew it was no accident. And so St. Ubaldus said, well, it is not for you to judge. And he said, since he has injured me, and it is in my diocese, it is in my power, then I will execute justice upon him. And he only did that to free him from the excessive anger of these people. And so this act of kindness actually converted the worker. He made an act of contrition and finally went to confession. And our saint said, by way of satisfaction, I insist to you, my dear worker, that I be able to give you the kiss of peace. And then he begged God to forgive this man and all of the offenses that he has ever committed. And that is the way that saints always got even with their enemies, by praying for them, by being kind to them. And so also should we do. We should not retaliate and yell at them or curse at them or anything. Rather, we should pray for them and pray for their conversion. And it says finally that our saint, after many years of hard labor, went into 2 years of a horrible sickness, and he suffered greatly from it. But it says that he bore it all with great patience and resignation until finally he died a saintly death. Now, finally, the secret to a holy death is a holy life. You must always be ready at every moment to leave this life, because as we all know, and we are told very many times in the sermon, we don't know what time we shall die. We only know that we all will die, so we should always be ready. And you do this, you can always be certain of being ready, by if you imitate the example of the saints who were most Christ-like in their virtues. And you must always particularly try to imitate the virtues of St. Eubulus. They are four. His good example that he set for his clergy, we also should set for our fellow Catholics. We should be faithful to our duties, as was St. Eubulus, patient under trial, and finally, we should always show great charity towards our persecutors. And the more harm they do us, the greater should be our charity. It's not an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Rather, we should show great charity as St. Eubulus did towards his enemies, and as Christ did towards his. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.